Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus said, "In those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and put forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. What I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. O God, our salvation, who is near, you hold us in our waiting and keep us awake to the world. You show up in our lives at unexpected times. Enlighten us with hope that we may keep vigil for your arrival. We trust that even though we do not know the day or the hour, nevertheless, you hurry to gather all your people to your peace. Amen. Amen. Take a look around the nave and see. Take an opportunity, just look around. There are signs of our Advent season surrounding us. A Moravian star, perhaps, is over there leading us in. There are four candles on our wreath lighting our paths. There is a traveling circus of nativity figurines heading home to greet the Christ child. All of these festive symbols of Advent point to the living hope we have been given, a hope proclaimed in many Eucharistic liturgies. Join if you know it. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Christ will most certainly come again. He will not only come again this season by being born in our hearts through faith. He will come again in glory with all the angels to gather all of God's people, the living and the dead. And when that day comes and we are gathered, God will make of this worn out, weary world a new world. God will lead us all into the peaceable kingdom where joy shall never end. We, together with every living thing in the universe, and even the universe itself, will be transformed into God's home. God will finally fully live in us and we in God. And then perhaps maybe Paul will make some sense to us. when he says this: if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. What a funny thing that hope is, this hope that we share. It is expecting that something or someone is going to come and arrive here, beyond anything that we can imagine happening to us today. It can be tinged with a bit of hopelessness. And yet hope is a power within us, given by God, so that we may not be held down by any sort of weariness we endure today. How does this hope keep us awake to receive Christ? Not be weighed down in the weariness of life. Jesus showed his disciples that this hope exists alongside all of our simple expectations, our disappointments, and our joys. The disciples in our lesson today had left the temple in Jerusalem, wondering if Jesus' premonition aligned with their expectations. Jesus had said this: not one of the stones of the temple will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down. See, the disciples knew in their heart the wearied expectation of their people. They were tired of Roman occupation. And so some of the people put their hope in themselves. They would use conflict to usher in God's kingdom. The Messiah was on the way and was about to join them in establishing an earthly kingdom. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Jesus' inner circle, shared this same earthly hope when they asked him bluntly, "Explain a bit more of your prophecy, Jesus. What will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" We see how this hope, limited by earthly-minded expectations, has drastic consequences. And Jesus described these consequences in frightening details. People would attempt to lead others astray. There would be wars and rumors of wars. Nations will be pitted against nation. Earthquakes and famines will befall the earth. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. The Romans would set up a sacrilege in the temple. The disciples would experience betrayal and death. This isn't just a simple expectation for a better tomorrow. This is a world falling apart, together with all kinds of simple expectations. Here's a problem with simple expectations. Those expectations limit us in perceiving only one outcome. And so when that one outcome does not occur, there is disappointment. There's disillusionment. The disciples and us, we need a more enduring gift beyond these simple expectations that is able to exist in the middle of joy and the storms of life. And we hear how Jesus gave to the disciple that precise hope, the hope that the Son of Man would gather the people in peace. This figure we hear today, the Son of Man, is kind of this end-time messenger from God, sent by God not to destroy the world, but to reconcile all things and all peoples unto God with peace. And when this peace comes, we hear how Jesus shows us the entire cosmos is transformed. The sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, the powers in the heavens will be shaken, because God, our light and our salvation, has arrived. This is the living hope that we have, that Christ has given to the disciples then and us, to know that light that is God, to experience the light of peace shining in the weary night of our souls. We have all struggled at some time to live into hope. Whenever we're faced with some degree of loss or a lack of stability, we often become stuck in simple expectations. When a family member or a friend passes, we think of our own death. Perhaps that's it. When we undergo medical procedures or examinations, uncertainty narrows the realm of possibilities when it comes to our own life, here and now. Or when relationships are strained to the point that they come to an end, we have doubts as to whether or not we will find love again. When I think of a living hope, the hope that exists between joy and disappointment, suffering and hopelessness, I think of Palestine. And in particular, I think of our Christian siblings in Palestine. I recently came across an article about Pastor Munther Isaac of Evangelical Lutheran Christmas Church in Bethlehem. How in the middle of their world falling apart, there is living hope. He and other Christians are going to perhaps not celebrate Christmas with such a hurrah this year. Rather, they're going to make a nativity scene out of the rubble and the debris under their very feet. And here's the reason. Listen for the hope. This is what Christmas now means to us, that we see Jesus born among those who have lost everything, who are under the rubble. That is the kind of living hope that we have, that enables us to keep watch for the Christ in the rubble of our lives. Hope is that light given to us so that whatever weariness we have, we can begin to see that weariness as the space where Christ is coming again. And that allows for all of us to take whatever simple expectations we have, whatever weariness is really draining our minds, and lay it before the manger of Christ, knowing that God's peace is going to arrive, a peace that we so desperately need to face this weary world. Of course, you may ask, as the disciples did, when will this be, Pastor? For a millennia, many earnest disciples have tried to predict Christ's coming and the transformation of this entire world. Many of our siblings today continue to ask the question, and they tally up the scores and try to figure out, maybe in 2 years, Christ will come again. But I think even more so, many of our siblings want to know when their own weariness is going to come to an end, and where will that peaceable kingdom begin? We can say that this is all in our divine parent's hands. For it is our divine parent who in Christ sent, who sent out Christ out of God's sheer love for this world. It is that love that promises to bring forth peace precisely at the right moments of our lives. Heaven and earth may pass away, the very world and the rug under us may be pulled, but these words of hope will never fail. So then, I would say, let us light this wreath. I'm not going to do that now, but let us light this wreath to remind ourselves that living hope, the hope that we have, is the hope that we stand in. It is a hope that we taste every time we share this feast of love, the food of everlasting life, the bread come down from heaven, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. For we have all died in this Christ. We are risen in this Christ. We will see Christ again. Amen.